Father, we thank you for a beginning. Lord, we thank you for the drama that is creation. And we ask that you'd give us insight into your glory in this story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, can we just give the Lord a praise offering for how great he is and mighty he is? Welcome to the beginning of the story. By definition, the Bible is a record of God's revelation to mankind. So over the course of this school year, we have the joy to investigate the ways that God has revealed himself to mankind since creation until 2017. I would like to say the story begins with a bang, but that's just not true. The story begins with God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." And such an amazing beginning because the Bible assumes God. In 2017, we have so many different ways that we try to explain God. The Bible doesn't try any of those ways. In fact, we enter into the story where God already is. By definition, he is eternal, which means he has no beginning and he has no end. The beginning of Genesis 1:1 is not the beginning of God. In fact, if you would turn with me to Psalms chapter 102, I want you to see how a psalmist describes this aspect of God in verse 25. The psalmist says, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away." Can you imagine the majesty and the amazing glory of our Lord for these words to be true? Has anybody ever gone to Enchanted Rock State Park just west of us here? One of my favorite places to go. I absolutely love it. When you're on top of that solid mountain of granite, it feels like the granite just goes all the way down to China. We always stand up there and I tell my children, please don't take this for granted. And they haven't yet to this day. A few years ago, we had the chance to go to the Grand Tetons National Forest up in Wyoming. And it was amazing. These mountains stretch into the heavens, the Teton Mountains. And we didn't climb them, but even being on the foothills of them, you just feel the majesty and the glory of it. And the truth of Scripture and what we find in God's creation is that even those will fall and those will fail, but God will always remain. He's greater than the earth. He's greater than matter. He created it all. In fact, back in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created." And that word created is so amazing because in all the places that we see that word in the Bible, the only subject of that verb is God. He is the only one who can create. Oftentimes, we are mistaken into thinking that Satan is creative. Satan has never created anything in his existence. He can't create. All that Satan does is take what God has created and distort it and mess with it. And he does a good job of deceiving us and distorting the things that God has created to be true. And even in our language, we use the word create in a different way, don't we? In fact, those of you who know me, you know that I'm not an artist, but today I am honored to give you an art lesson. So I hope that you pay attention. You might want to draw this on your message notes and prove that you are listening. At one point, there will be a quiz after each portion. So what number have I written up here for you? Number 6, right? You can say it confidently. I'm not here to trick you, right? Now, right below the 6, you might see just a 6, but the master artist has another thing to write. What is that letter? It's an A. And granted, it's an A by somebody who has a shaky hand and probably shouldn't be drawing. But right below the A, you can add what letter? A C. Aha. There is method to the madness right here, right? I haven't been drawing 6 A and C. I've been drawing an old man. And apparently an evil old man at that, from the looks of him, right? Thank you. I will be here all day for signatures, autographs, those type of things. I would like to say that I created this. I created this. Man, actually, I cheated and I stole the idea from people on YouTube who know everything, apparently, if you're on YouTube. I didn't create this, no matter how original it would have been for the drawing, because I'm holding this marker, I'm using a whiteboard that needs to be replaced after this sermon, and I'm using ideas that were somebody else's. Church, when we say that God created, He created out of nothing. And by His voice, life springed into place. By His voice, light sprung out of the darkness. By His voice, in a sea where there was nothing, suddenly there were fish that were swimming around. God created, unlike anybody else or anything else, has the power and the ability to do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you would follow along with me in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I want to get hung up for just a moment on the words that begin verse 3, where God said. You know, we get a glimpse there of God speaking, and it's the very act of creation. And we understand from these two words alone that the earth is not God. There are people in 2017 who worship the earth. Worship the things that the earth produces. There are people who say, oh, God is everything that is around us, yet we see from the testimony of the very beginning that that is not true. People today elevate the earth to a God status, and it should not be. We clearly see the one who is worthy of being worshiped, the creator of all, next to the object that He is creating. And think about this. All that God had to do to create was open His mouth. That was it. He just had to utter the words light, and it burst forth. That was all He had to do. I'm a little embarrassed to say, when it's time for my children to go to bed, do you know how many times I have to tell them it's time to go to bed before they actually go, yes, I'm looking at you in the eyes, right? Suffice it to say, it's more than once that I have to say it. When it's dinner time, do you know how many times I have to yell up the stairs to say, dinner's ready, y'all come down, right? Suffice it to say, it's more than once, unless we starve them for lunch and they're ready, then they come running down, right? What power is it that God holds in His hands that just once He says the word light and it bursts forth? Church, that is a God worthy of worship. You know, sometimes in our world in 2017, people get the idea that God needs us. Now, if you look at the title of the message today, it's, God, can you create something new in me, right? Create something new in me. And if we want God to create something new in us, then I think this aspect is vital for us to remember. You see, people think that God needs me. He needs me to go feed the homeless. He needs me to give money to this. He needs me to go and talk to this person. Do you know that's just wrong biblically? God spoke into nothing and there was something. He doesn't need you. Church, He wants you. And what a difference that makes for you and I. And God's love beckoning us to be with Him. This is the purpose of creation, to call us to be with Him, in relationship with Him. We're going to see more and more how that looks. So I want you to turn in your message notes on the back side of the bulletin. I want us to write this down before I give you the answers up here. You might have it memorized, so if so, I want you to call it out. We're just going to see God's design in creation. All right, day one, we've just read about it. What did God create day one? Light, very good. Let's maintain this confidence level. Day two, what did He create? Water and sky, very impressive. Day three, what did he create? Land and veg. Somebody said watermelon. And that's actually true. On this day, very good, very impressive. Day four, sun, moon, stars. Come on, confidence back up. Day five, one more hard one. Day five, fish and birds, right? Now day six, we know, what did he create? Animals on the ground and humans. He created us. And what did he do on day seven? He rested. All right, all of you teachers, here's the answers right behind me so you can be sure to fill them in. You know, I want us to look at this design because it's something ironic to me when you Google about the creation of the earth. Something that comes up very quickly is that, God couldn't have created light before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I want to get on the message boards and just say, really? Right? But it's not even worth your time to get on the message boards about that. Do you know what God says about himself in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5? It says that God is light. You know what Jesus says of himself in John chapter 8? He says, I am the light of the world. I want to tell you something. God doesn't need a sun or a star to produce light. He is light. So what God is doing then in these 6 days of creation is that he is pouring into creation and this creation a way for us to know him. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they testify about the greatness of God, about the very fact that he is light. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms, in chapter 19, we see God's purpose behind creation, behind what we see in the plants and the animals and the sun, the moon, and the stars. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Listen, in these 6 days, God is creating a message system for all of the world, no matter what language you speak, to be able to recognize, wow, somebody created this. I want to know him. How mighty is our God. Now, I wanted you to see this in the pattern that is behind me, because when we ask the question, God, can you create something new in me? I think we need to understand the pattern that God put forth. What do you see on the first 3 days of creation? You see God creating a platform, don't you? He's setting the stage. What is he setting the stage for? Well, look at days 4, 5, and 6, and you can see them right across from each other. What God sets the platform with on day one in light, he fills that platform with the sun and the stars on day 4. What God sets up as his platform on day 2 in the water and sky, on day 5, he fills that with the fish, with the birds. What God establishes with the land and with the vegetation on day 3, he fills on day 6 with men, with animals that are running on the land. Why is that important for us to understand? Because sometimes when we cry out for God to create something new in us, we don't realize that sometimes God is setting the stage for what's to come. And sometimes God is filling the platform that he put in place. And the difficulty of that understanding is that when God is building the platform in your life, oftentimes we don't know what he's doing. In church, it requires great patience from you. Because we think in those times, God's not doing anything, but I can guarantee you this, God is doing something. It's in his nature. He is working in the world around us, and he's working for you to be able to know him. So sometimes he's setting the platform, and sometimes he's filling it. And if you're in that stage where he's filling up what he's already set up, then you need to thank God for the work that's going on in your life. When he fills it, then retroactively, so many times we see, God, you were preparing me for this very day and very time. I don't know about you, but I want God to create something new in me. I want his life to burst forth from my life. It's curious when we look at the pattern of the days of creation, maybe we can see some clues to how his life can burst forth in us. Here's the pattern of every day, and we can use day one as an example. God always gives an announcement, doesn't he? Every day begins with, "And God said," that's the announcement. And it's crazy to think about this. If there was no voice, there would be no creation. That's the power of God's voice. And the second in the pattern is a command of God. He always says, "Let there be." On the first day, "Let there be light." On the second day, "Let there be water divided from the waters." On the third day, right, "Let there be land and vegetation." And if there were no command, there would be no order to creation, would there? The third thing is a report. After God has given the command and what is created has sprung into existence, God then says, "It was so." Right? If there was no report, there would be no verification of what God was doing, no testimony. But even this in the last one is an evaluation. At the end of each day, God says, "It was good." And how important the evaluation is, just so we can understand what just took place. God in his goodness is doing this, and what he's doing is good. Why is this pattern so important? Because we're not talking about fish anymore. We're not talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars anymore. We're talking about you and me. This is our lives. And if God wants to create something new in us and do a new work in us, then are we going to be able to hear his announcement and his voice? Are we going to be able to understand his command? Are we going to be able to hear his report and believe it, hear his evaluation, and trust in what he says in his evaluation? I want us to hold on to that thought and skip down in Genesis 1 to where God creates mankind. He says in verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Does anything strike you as strange about that statement? One is that who is God talking to, right? Let us. God is plural. In fact, all throughout Genesis chapter 1, God is plural. He's paired with singular objects and he's paired with plural objects. And in both cases, he, as a namesake, is plural. And so people don't know what to do with that in our world today. Some people say, "Well, God is talking to the creation." Come on. That's not it. He's not talking to the sun and to the stars. They're not helping him make man. Others say, "Well, he's talking to the angels," and that would seem to make more sense, except in the Bible, we see that the angels were at creation and they were celebrating with what God was doing. They weren't doing it. They weren't creating. So for God to say, "Hey, angels, let us make man," that doesn't make any sense biblically either. God is talking to himself because God is three in one. And this is a testimony of the Trinity. It's a testimony of the majesty and might and glory and mystery of God. We see all aspects of the Trinity at work. We see the Father, what we said, him speaking in verse 2 of Genesis 1. We saw the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And if you turn with me to Colossians, we see even more insight and understanding into what's going on In the creation. We see this in John chapter 1, 2. But Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16 is talking about Jesus. And it says, "For by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Isn't that amazing? And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit completely operating as one because they are completely one, yet distinct persons all functioning at the same time in the creation of the world. And this is so amazing to me, right? God is existing in perfect relationship with himself. And so for him to say in verse 26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, people have wondered what that means for 6,000 years. Well, here's an aspect of what it means, that he is calling us and creating us to be in perfect relationship with him. He is in perfect relationship, and his love is beckoning us to be with him. You are created in the image and in the likeness of God. When you have three daughters at home, the mirror that you grab is lined with pink. I'm going to try not to blind you. What do you see when you look in this mirror? I see my neighbor. I see the wall needs some more paint on it. No, what do you see when you see you in this mirror? See, if I were to bet, I would say that you see the blemishes on your face. You see the way that age is getting a hold of you. You see your shame. You see your guilt, don't you? I wish that I could be looking at something else. You know, Elizabeth sometimes will get mad at me when she's had a difficult day. She might say something bad about herself. And I will cut her off when she starts doing that and say, you don't talk about my wife that way. I know she gets tired sometimes when I say that, but the reality is I wouldn't let any of you talk about Elizabeth bad. Right? I would say, hey, you, that's my wife. Those are fighting words. And if you can't talk about her that way, she can't talk about herself that way either. And I wonder this. When we are looking at ourselves with a reflection of who we are and we're feeling condemned or we're feeling shame or whatever it is that we're feeling about ourselves, I wonder how many times in the heavenly realms God is saying, don't talk about my image that way. Don't talk about my likeness in that way. I created you, who you are. Who are you to say this about my creation? God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Look with me in the rest of these verses here. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Some of you who don't like little animals, this just verified it. Yes, even God calls them creepy, so that's good. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. How many ways does God have to tell you about his image written upon your DNA? I love how man and woman are distinct. I love, in fact, in every day, how God created each thing according to its kind. And I want to tread lightly as I talk about this subject for a moment. In our world in 2017, it is popular for people to strip away the uniqueness and the kind with which God made us. And the tagline for our world today is, I identify as something else. And that might be you in this room saying that I identify as something else. And I understand how pain and hurt can bring us to a place where we identify as something else. But church, I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart it's a lie if we believe we identify as something else. Because God created you, who you are, the way that you are, the race that you are, the gender that you are, for a reason and for a purpose. Because he loves you. If he wanted you to be something else, he would have created you in another way because that's then what he would have wanted you to be. No, he has a plan and a purpose for your life exactly how you are. You know, today people are identifying as a different age, which works out nice for me when I go to Golden Corral. I can say I identify as a 65-year-old so I can get a half-price meal at Golden Corral, right? It works out nice. Now we don't have any teenagers on 6th Street anymore. They all identify as 21-year-olds. We've got to quit believing a lie that is being sold to us. Church, the Bible says that God knit you together in your mother's womb, right? That's God creating you with a reason and with a purpose to be you. Now, if God created me, then I have to believe that the Creator knows what is best for me. More than I know what is best for myself. And I'm going to find my life when I submit to that will of the Creator, because He knows what life is in store for me. Who am I to spit in His face and say, no, I know what's better for myself than the one who knit me together? We need to trust God with these things. It's fascinating here in verse 31, when God saw this stuff, everything that He had made in day six, He said, it was very good. The day that He made you, He said it was very good. You know what the image and likeness of God means for you? It means that He loves you. Because you are distinct from all of creation. There's not a bear, there's not a cat, there's not a dog, there's not a mountain, there's not an ocean that can hold a candle to your greatness in God's eyes. Because only one did He give His image and likeness. That's you. You know, as we get into Genesis chapter 2, we find on the seventh day, God finished His work and He rested there in verse 2. There's so much to be said about these passages that we don't have time for today. So I want to just tell you this. If God rested, you need to rest. That's what God was establishing. And in 2017, we don't like to rest very much. But church, we need it. God knows we need it. You know, people will argue that chapter 2 is different than chapter 1 in the creation story. What happens in chapter 2 is that God zooms in to day 6. We're going to see that next week as we look at Adam and Eve and the reason that we have heartache when they disobeyed God. You know, God established a pattern for us in these days of the week. It's fun when you Google days of the week. You're going to find why our days are called what they're called. And then you're going to find everything under the sun for where the 7 days come from. People say, oh, the 7 days came from China, because here in their calendar back here, we see in ancient China, the calendar. And then other people know it came from South America, because we think this calendar predated all of these other calendars. And we see 7 days. No, it came from the Babylonians. They were the ones that came up with the 7 day model. I know where it comes from, right? Call on me. I know. Why do all of these different cultures have 7 days? Because God established it in the beginning. It's obvious, church. Man, and the God that put this world into pattern and order for us can be trusted. But can He do something new in me and in you? You know, later on in the story, we're going to read about a man named David who really screwed up his life. He was like you and me. He really messed up. And one of the times that he messed up the worst, he wrote a psalm. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David says, God, create in me a new heart. It's the same word that God uses for creation. David says, create in me. And what we see in David's life is that God answered that prayer, and He made him brand new, and He forgave him. Jonathan, how does that work in me? Well, let's look, and maybe you want to write these down at the last of your notes. How does it work for God to create something new in me? Let's remember this order of creation, right? He wants to announce in your heart. Do you hear His announcement? Can you hear His voice? You hear it in God's word. Do you hear it by the Holy Spirit? You know, it's fascinating that prophets and people like John the Baptist proclaimed that God was going to become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you hear the announcement? Do you understand His command? The command of Jesus was simple: to follow Him. Can you follow Him where He leads? Look at the third thing. Do you believe His report? Right? The disciples said, we've written to you about what we've seen and what we know and testify this to be true. Do you believe what God has done in this world through Jesus Christ? And do you trust His evaluation that when He says through faith in Christ, you are forgiven, Do you believe it? Are you forgiven? When he tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, do you trust his evaluation? Or do you continue to live condemned? What happens in this pattern? Light starts to burst forth from the darkness. God creating something new in you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the beginning of the greatest story that's ever told. God, as we gear up for this school year to go across the entire Bible in great story after story, Father, give us wisdom, give us a hunger for your word, and a knowledge of how to put it all together that we can follow you every step of the way. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our